It's the Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 176. I am your host, Adam Mangum. First up, Matt and I talk about Tom Homo's recent comments about the Notre Dame series, the Utah series, the Pac-12, and conference expansion. We also talk about Alani Fuia and how he did in the NFL Combine. Then it's on to hoops. Has this team turned the corner? Can they beat Gonzaga? Can they make the tournament? All of this will be answered and so much more in this episode of the Rise and Shout Podcast. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiseShout, email us adam@loyalcougars.com, and listen to us right now. Rise and Shout Podcast. I am Adam. You are Matt. What's going on?
Rise and shout, my friends.
Rise and shout, indeed. So, Matt, we had our 175th podcast last week, which was our, like, something anniversary.
We attached a precious metal or something to it, didn't we?
Mjolnir, the hammer of Thor.
That's right. I remember it was something kind of nerdy.
I guilty as charged, sir. Guilty as charged. But yes, so we had our 175th. So go back and listen to it if you haven't, because we had a great interview with Greg Rebell, and then we were okay after that. But Greg talked about what he thinks has to happen for BYU to get in the tournament, and nothing about what he said last week has really changed that much because of the fact that that we won last week. So.
Yep.
So everything he said was under the assumption that that BYU beat San Diego, which of course BYU did. But we'll talk about basketball here in a little bit, Matt. I've got something maybe more important to talk to you about.
Oh boy.
The Bachelor. I'm totally kidding.
Oh my gosh.
I'm totally kidding.
Almost hung up right now. I wouldn't even know what to do with that.
Yes, you would. You watch it. Just stop. Stop with this faking.
I haven't seen The Bachelor since like season two.
So you watched the first two seasons. Is that what you're saying?
I've seen some episodes years ago. Years ago.
All I can say is I have watched two episodes this season. My wife is a fan of The Bachelor, but she does not enjoy watching it with me. Why?
Well, there's a shocker.
Yeah, that's a shocker. My running commentary about the stupidity of the people on the show. So she doesn't. But no, Matt, that's not what I was going to talk about. I was going to talk about something almost as ridiculous: the Academy Awards.
Oh yes.
So Matt, did you watch any of the Oscars? Do you typically watch these type of shows?
Well, I think we've talked about this before. I'm a big fan of the country music awards.
Yes.
There's a lot of good performances there. I did watch some of the Oscars. I watched just enough to know that John Travolta is a little awkward.
Oh, a little awkward? I'm pretty sure Black Widow almost killed him on stage.
I think what was really funny though was how they brought him out with Idina Menzel and had him, and they just hammered that joke. I mean, they killed it.
And I can't tell if he's like self-aware and being funny or if he just doesn't really get it.
Now, I don't know if you ever watched The Celebrity Apprentice.
Yes.
Gary Busey. Self-aware, gets what he's doing. John Travolta, no.
He's no Gary Busey. Is that what you're saying?
He is no Gary Busey.
So I don't watch the Oscars typically. I watched the Golden Globes the last couple of years because I think Tina Fey and what's-her-face, Amy Poehler, do a fantastic job as hosts. And to me, an award show lives or dies by the host.
No, absolutely.
Neil Patrick Harris is not the host for me.
Oh, I think he's pretty funny.
I thought he was okay. I watched a little bit. I did not like some of the digs that folks took at comic book movies. Now, because I'm a comic book movie fan. But I don't
understand. And you took it personally.
Also true. James Gunn, director of the Guardians of the Galaxy, go Google his response to the Oscars, and he had the best response because he's been an independent filmmaker. He's made big blockbusters. He's made all sorts of movies in his career. But my response is, why do you tear down your own industry, right? and any of them would line up and take a paycheck from Marvel or Warner Brothers tomorrow, right? Almost any of these guys would do that. So, but I don't know. The word shows there's like, I don't know. It's just like famous people being famous. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. I mean, I was too busy watching QVC.
You were not watching QVC.
No, I don't watch QVC.
I don't remember what I was watching instead.
Sunday night. Oh, I know what I was watching instead. I started my Marvel movie marathon. Starting with Iron Man 1.
Wow.
I'm watching them all in preparation for Avengers Age of Ultron.
I feel like I was watching a 30 for 30 special.
You could have been. Those are wonderful, most of them.
Have you seen the one on the hockey game, the 1980 hockey game?
I did not. I have it on my DVR. I recorded it, but I haven't watched it yet.
It's very good because it's not about that game.
It is not.
It is, well, it's what it's really about. It's about the history of hockey in the Soviet Union.
Oh yeah, I saw that in the commercials.
It's fascinating. I turned it on when I've seen it like 1.5 to 2 times now. And the first time I turned it on, they were showing this footage from the USSR game. They were talking about it and I was watching with my son. I said, "Oh, you've got to see this. Let me tell you about this." And we were talking through it, and then it moved into this. Well, and here's what happens with these Russian hockey players. This was the next phase after that part of Russian hockey. And I was like, "Oh, wait a minute, what?" And they go into this whole thing. It's fascinating.
Yeah, because the story of that team has been told, not that it shouldn't be, but it's been told many times. It's got a movie that you can go watch if you're so inclined. But yeah, that does sound fascinating.
I thought it was very well done.
Well, Matt, before we get into the BYU stuff, I did want to let everyone know that this episode will be fueled by Cafe Rio. I am in Vegas on business, and I did go to Cafe Rio before we started this podcast. So
have you had any meals not at Cafe Rio since you got there?
Yeah. We went to a Greek place for lunch for business. It was not my choice.
Did you complain the whole time?
No, I didn't. It was actually quite delicious. So I did not.
That was big of you.
Yeah, well, I am a big person, getting bigger, especially if I continue eating as much as I did this evening. So, anyway, Matt, this is Fueled by Cafe Rio. So, Matt, let's move on to Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, Matt, one of the things that we have done over the last few podcasts is talk about the volleyball team.
Yeah, and Bumset Spike.
The volleyball team, Matt, continues to be awesome.
They are really good.
And they had a great weekend. Did you catch any of either of the matches this weekend?
I did. I watched some. When did I watch? Was that Saturday night?
I watched weekend's some on Saturday.
A little bit of a blur. Yeah, I think I watched them on Saturday.
Yeah, so they obliterated Long Beach State. They looked really good. And they have, of course, this week coming up, newly back into the rankings. I shouldn't say new to the rankings because they've been in and out at Ball State coming up this weekend. Two big things at the Smith Fieldhouse. And then they're on the road for like a month.
Yeah.
Before they come back for UC Irvine. So they are looking good. I'm not predicting national championship or anything because that would be very premature, but I do think, Matt, this is a better team than we thought they were going to be.
And they're clearly a contender in that national championship conversation.
Yes. Yeah, sure. I mean, I think this was, I thought was going to be a more bit of a rebuilding year after such a great season last season.
No, and you lose it. Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm very impressed by what I've seen so far, and I'm looking forward to watching them this weekend against Ball State, which it's kind of perplexing to me that Ball State has a men's volleyball program.
Can you imagine trying to play volleyball at Ball State in February?
Let's just say they don't practice sometimes doing beach volleyball.
No. As a matter of fact, they probably can't even practice outside until like July.
Maybe not even then. Maybe not even then. So, Matt, moving on from the men's basketball team, athletic director Tom Homo had basically spilled his guts this week and talked about a lot of different things. But let's go down what he talked about today. Was it today or was it yesterday? This is Tuesday night. This was yesterday. Today. What day is it? I'm not even sure. So, topic one that Homo talked about, Matt, discipline from the Miami Beach Brawl.
Yeah.
He basically said discipline has and will be metered out, and he then said we will not talk about it.
Yeah.
Any surprises in his response?
Not at all. I know that there are people that want... that feel like that should be that should be more public, but I'm not at all surprised that that's the route they decided to take. Yeah, was to just handle that internally.
Yeah, it's BYU. Unless there's a public, unless one of the players decides to take it public, BYU's not going to say anything. And I know there are people that think they should, and to those people, I have no idea why the BYU owes its fans what exactly the punishments were. I don't know. Why that would be the case. Topic number two was the BYU-Utah football series.
Mm-hmm.
And where there's a two-year hiatus that we're in the middle of. 2016 through 2018, there's a deal in place. But after that, there's nothing. Quite frankly, it's looking like there may not be anything coming too soon. Matt, what do you make of this? Is this the end of the rivalry, do you think, in 2019 or 2020? Or do you think eventually they'll figure this out?
I think eventually they may figure it out, but I think this is the end of these two teams playing each other on a consistent basis. I think those days are behind us.
There will be gaps.
There's going to be giant gaps, I think. Years in between.
I don't know if giant gaps. I think like last year and this year, I think... there could be a 1 or 2 year gap on occasion. But financially, it makes sense to keep playing each other. Right? I mean,
yeah.
Utah or BYU, if you have a down year, you're still probably going to sell out that game. So I think it makes sense. That being said, bigger picture question, do either of these teams actually need this rivalry? Or if it disappeared tomorrow, does that make a difference to either program?
I'm not sure that it does.
I don't think it does. People make a big deal out of the rivalries, and in the end, people have stopped playing rivals, traditional rivals, and it typically doesn't do a whole lot to either program.
Yeah.
You know, Texas A&M was, and Arkansas had played for years and years and years, and then, you know, Arkansas went to the SEC, and it was like, you know, when that happened, it was like, oh, football's sold out and nobody cared. And now they're back in the same conference again. So, you know, it's not a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal, but I know other people will disagree on that one. So he also addressed independence, and he said, we are an independent team. That's who we are. But then he dropped this little diamond, Matt. He says, it's our intention that we will be playing in what they commonly call a Power 5 conference sometime in the near future.
Yeah.
Now, if Tom Homo was trying to quiet the constant noise of fans wanting to join the Big 12 or another Power 5 conference, he certainly did not. He certainly threw fuel on that fire, didn't he, Matt?
Oh, he did. He threw water on a grease fire there. I love that, you know, if you look at some of the other things he said in this comment, I try not to get too high or too low and react to everything, but that is exactly not what will happen in reaction to his statement. People are going to be all over the place.
No, people are going to assume what he's saying is we are currently in negotiations, which isn't what he said.
An announcement is imminent. That's the way that reads to me.
Yeah. You can take your blue goggles off there, buddy.
As a matter of fact, I believe that a week ago it was his intention to make an announcement today, but they just haven't quite put a bow on the agreement.
Yes, yes. The proverbial bow.
the all-too-elusive bow.
Yes. So that's going to fuel some discussion. Then he was asked about the Big 12 being snubbed by the College Football Playoff, and is BYU viewed as a potential candidate? He basically dodged the question and did say, what will the playoff look like and what will the Big 12 do? But he dodged the question. He didn't answer it. Not a huge surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then he talked about the pending series with Notre Dame, Matt. And basically what it sounds to me, and I'm interpreting here, they're not coming to Provo ever. They're going to buy their way out of this. Is that how you would take it?
Yeah, and I think I think a lot of us had already come to that conclusion.
Yeah. Yeah, which is too bad. I would have loved to have seen them come at least one time, and maybe that will happen in the future. But I hope it does. But their deal with the ACC makes it very hard because they have so many other traditional rivals that they also want to play. He addressed the Pac-12 and the relationship that BYU has with the Pac-12 and basically says it's a great fit. We kind of have... not the ACC agreement Notre Dame has, but we're playing a couple of Pac-12 schools pretty much between now and the end of eternity. So it's a pretty good deal. Matt, do you think this means that if the Pac-12 decides to go to 14 that we're in?
I don't know. They seem really bent on research institutions.
Stop it.
I know, I'm just kidding. But if you think, I think he makes some strong points about the relationship with the Pac-12. I think geographically it makes sense. It makes a lot more sense now than it did, say, when the Pac-12 picked up Colorado and Utah. But now with those two schools in there, it would make even more sense. I think there could be some really good things there that make that a good fit.
Yes.
But there are some pieces in there that make it not a great fit. But that's going to be true, and some of those same things will be true no matter what the conference is. Especially when you start talking about sports other than football and scheduling and those types of issues.
So if I had asked you a week ago, the percent chance BYU ever joins the Pac-12, what would your response have been? Percent chance?
Five.
I would have said one, maybe 0.5. Has it changed by what he said?
A little bit, but at the same time, he's got to talk that up because that is an important relationship for BYU, and it's an important relationship for Tom Homo. And so he needs to be talking about it in very complimentary terms because it's good for us. It's good for BYU to have those teams scheduled and to play those games. And so I don't know. I don't want to get too excited about what he's saying here and read too far into this that there could possibly be something there beyond the fact that he would like to just kind of maintain a good relationship, good ties with that program. So okay. Would I go up from five? Maybe. But am I in the realm where I'm throwing out terms like 50-50? No.
I don't. It didn't change at all for me. I don't think it's very likely. But it's a good relationship to have. Related to that, he mentioned the neutral site game against Arizona in 2020 will be in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
They said they talked about Denver, but it's not a great neutral site, which I would agree with. The problem I have with Vegas, Matt, is the stadium.
The stadium is not good.
Sam Boyd, we have both attended. Well, I've attended three games there. How many did you just have? Just the one?
I think I've only been there once. I think I've just been there the time that we went.
Yeah, yeah. So I went to a couple of WAC championships there, which are not good memories. But anyway, so it's not a great stadium, but it is a good central location between the two schools and one which, Las Vegas has a large BYU pool of alumni who will certainly come to the game, and it's not too far for people if they decide they want to make a weekend out of it to drive especially, from Provo or Salt Lake.
Right, and especially BYU fans who live in the southern part of the state.
yes.
of Utah. I think that's an easy game for him to get to.
Mm-hmm. Or Southern California, potentially, you know. So, you know, it's
a decent, as a destination, it's a decent location.
So the other one that people are very curious about, Matt, is the bowl tie-in for 2015. So I will read Holmo's quote. This point in time, this next year's game, for reasons of contract and the people that are involved, it's not being made public at this time. But then he ended by saying, I feel good about where we're at. So it sounds like they've got something. They just can't talk about it yet.
Yeah.
So it's hard to react to that kind of information.
But, you know, it's difficult, right? I mean, if we're talking about a bowl game that's basically the same bowl game we've played the past couple of years, you know, then that's okay. You know, is there something more than that to this? That would be cool, but you have no idea based on what he's saying.
No.
Because he'd feel good. I think at this point he'd feel good about a lot of different scenarios.
Yeah, if they went back to the Miami Beach Bowl or another, you know, poinsettia bowl or something, you know.
Right.
I don't know. Or maybe they're going to create a bowl for BYU. ESPN is working on that, you know, like you said, something bigger, right? Where BYU mm-hmm. would have an automatic tie-in for this bowl from now until whenever independence ends.
Right.
You know, which would, and there's another conference give their third or fourth place team or something. I don't know. But we'll see how that plays out. And the last thing you talked about was the relationship with ESPN, which is related to the bowls and some of the other stuff we've talked about with independence. He just said it's a good relationship, which, no duh, it's good for both ESPN and BYU.
Mm-hmm.
We make money, they make money.
And everyone's we get happy. To see everything.
Yes, yes, and we get to see it all, which is fantastic after, you know, those of us that remember the Mountain West, or I should put it this way, those of us that try to forget the Mountain West.
Well, and it's easy, because it was very difficult to watch those games.
Yes, yes, it was highly difficult.
I remember getting up on, I'd be driving all over creation trying to find a place that had they could show me the game.
Yeah, oh, I know. It's
craziness.
Terrible.
Craziness.
So the only participant, switching topics here, Matt, the only participant for BYU players in the NFL Combine was Fua, the linebacker. And he had a good day at the Combine, finished third among linebackers in the three-cone drill, and then fourth in the 20-yard shuttle and the 60-yard shuttle. So it confirms what we already knew, which is he is an incredible athlete. Matt, what do you think? I mean, do you see Fua as a potential draft choice starting linebacker in the NFL, or do you think this is more of a rookie free agent and see if he can sticks kind of guy?
I think Fua, you know, having posted what he did in a couple of these drills, you know, the three cone, the 20-yard shuttle, the 60-yard shuttle, those are good drills for linebackers. You know, when you think about lateral movement, getting across the field, these types of things. So I think that may really help him. He may have worked himself into a spot where he's going to get some looks, maybe in a late round, you know, brought in somewhere and given some type of a shot. But, you know, there's a part of me, too, that thinks you'd almost prefer, if you're in that tier, to not get drafted at all and have a little bit more flexibility and the ability to choose your own destiny, right? But he's probably somewhere in that tier. I think before this, I probably would have said, you know, we're talking undrafted rookie free agent here, but he's clearly going to garner some attention based on his performance.
Yes, yes, agreed. I think he performed well. The last note before we move on to basketball, Matt, is two sport star Jennifer Hampson signed with the WNBA's LA Sparks, so she will be continuing. No surprise, her career in professional basketball.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, she could be around. She's for a long time in the WNBA, and I may actually end up watching my first WNBA game.
Well, that brings us to a question that I think, you know, I hear talked about a lot.
Not likely.
Well, I guess you've already answered my question, but the question is, do you watch a game? Like, if you're flipping around channels, are you more likely to stay on a game because there's a BYU athlete in that game? If, you know, you're watching it, it's an NFL game, an NBA game, the Pelicans come on, or something. Are you more likely to watch that game because there's a BYU player on that team? And if so, how does that carry over into the WNBA? I've not watched really any WNBA ever.
No, I have not either. It depends for me personally. In football, unless they play a prime position, now that the Lions have Ziggy and Fanoy, I did maybe watch a quarter or two more of the Lions than I would have. But, you know, I don't have NFL Sunday ticket anymore, so I watch whatever NFL game's on. Right. I have 1 o'clock church this year, so I won't see any NFL except the night games.
Well, that's easy. You just got to move.
Actually, you know, every time I bring up 1 o'clock church, people go, "Just move, do whatever more."
They've invented this technology. It's called a DVR. It allows you to record what's on your television. But see, the problem is, there's no way you can hide from the score.
Well, it's not even that. I need the games to move. I don't need a DVR. I need a time machine, right? Because you get home from 1 o'clock church, it's 4 o'clock. You eat, it's 5 o'clock. Kids go bed at 7:30, right? Then the Sunday night game's on anyway.
You're done.
You're done. You know, I need to be able to watch the games in the morning, you know?
Or if you were able to just pause time.
Sure.
And still have access to your television.
Sure, sure. That would work too. Or if I moved to the West Coast.
Yep,
you'd be able to see almost the whole game before you left for church. But anyway, that's not really the point. But to your point, I will maybe out of curiosity, I will watch an LA Sparks game if I somehow stumble upon it and be like, "Oh, this is Samson's team." I've never been able to even care at all about the WNBA, and that's no disrespect to the athletes that play it. You know, if I decided to pick up another sport, you know, to watch another league to watch, I would end up watching more hockey, or that's probably a bad example because it's different times of year. But I would pick something else, honestly, or I'd watch more football or baseball.
If there were more football on, I would watch it. I just can't believe nobody's figured out a way to make money with a football season in the off season.
People have tried. XFL. Was the USFL off season or in season?
I feel like I think
they competed head to head, right?
I feel like they may have started off season and then Donald Trump decided he wanted to go head to head. There was a 30 for 30 on that.
I have not seen that one either.
I think that one, is it called Small Potatoes? Because that's the phrase that somebody used or whatever. But at one point they were competing against the NFL, and I think that was a mistake, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah, you didn't want to go. I mean, but look at some of these names. The Michigan Panthers, you know, the Arizona Wranglers, the Oakland Invaders, the Denver Gold. Oh, man. Oh, the USFL.
Yeah, you can still buy all those. You can still buy T-shirts.
I own one. I own one. It may say Young on the back and have a number 8.
Did you buy one?
Oh, you better believe it. Well, Kathleen got it for me. My wife got it for me for Christmas.
Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome.
Boston Breakers, the Memphis Showboats.
Yes. Oh,
fantastic names. The Jacksonville Bulls. It was fantastic.
Anyway. The Pittsburgh Maulers.
Yes.
The Gunslingers.
The Las Vegas Gunslingers, right? Wasn't that Vegas? No, that was San Antonio.
San Antonio.
And then who offered, because one of the best articles I've read about this was the Blitz. Where were they at? Chicago Blitz.
Chicago.
They offered Walter Payton $2 million to come play for them. And he... before he made up his mind, they withdrew the offer because they figured out they didn't have the money. It's fantastic. Fantastic. But anyway, all right. So let's talk some hoops. So quickly, let's talk about beating, let me see, men's basketball. Here we go. BYU beats San Diego pretty convincingly. San Diego hung around in the first half, and then BYU took control. Anything you want to talk about out of that game that either concerned you or was exciting?
No real big surprises there. You know, I think that, you know, the team's in a little bit of a groove right now.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can, you know, build momentum off of that going forward with what they have coming up ahead.
My deal was Winder looked terrific. And obviously he hadn't been playing very much because of injury. 15 points, hits a three-pointer, has a steal and a couple assists and a couple rebounds. So that was very encouraging. Very encouraging. Josh Sharp kind of disappeared again. Wasn't on the floor for a lot of the game. And Luke Worthington came back. And by the way, we should mention Luke Worthington has plans now to serve a mission, which opens up a scholarship for Nate Austin.
Yeah.
So Austin is likely to come back due to his injury problems, which big man depth. I know we're going to have more big men next year, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have an experienced senior in the mix.
No, I think that's absolutely. And when you look at this team right now, that's exactly what this team needs.
Yes.
I think we've got some players that have showed some promise and so shown some spark, some signs that they will develop. But they're not there yet. And they may not be there next year yet.
Right, right. Absolutely, absolutely. So BYU has a four-game win streak, which is the longest win streak they've had this year, which is kind of shocking in a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they haven't won that many. They got Portland coming up after beating Portland last time at home. Now they've got to face them on the road on Thursday night. So Matt, what do you? Portland is. Let's see. I didn't got to pull up their record here. What is their record in conference? They are 7-9 in conference, 16-12 overall. On a scale of 1 to a billion, how worried are you on this one?
I'm not sure which end of those spectrums is really worried and or not very worried.
100 a billion is like super worried, upset city. 1 is not worried at all. We might as well be playing a JV squad.
Do you know how many times Portland has beat BYU in basketball?
Not off the top of my head, I would say 0.
Once.
Oh, once. Was that last season?
It was January 23rd, 2014, a four-point loss in triple overtime.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I wiped that one from my memory banks.
Yeah, we probably don't even want to talk about it.
Yes.
But hashtag never again.
Hashtag never again. I like it.
I'm not concerned about this game at all. You know, earlier in the season, or maybe after some of the, you know, there were points in the season where I felt like this team was vulnerable or suspect for an upset of this nature. But right now,
they are rolling.
Portland is not the team that's going to do it.
So, assuming BYU beats Portland, and I think we're both going to say they're going to lose to Gonzaga, there will be 6 in-conference losses, okay? Mm. Which, you know, you look at that and go, not great, but a good way to end the season. Percent chance that somehow St. Mary's loses both their games and now we're in a tie for second place. St. Mary's has not looked great, though they did okay.
True.
They did okay. They had a double overtime win against San Diego. They did blow out Portland. Gonzaga, they played okay, but they're kind of an up and down team. They had a great stretch in the middle of the year, starting right before conference play until their first they beat us and then had their got destroyed by Gonzaga, and then it's been kind of up and down from there. Percent chance we get that tie for second place.
You know, that's tough, and I feel like I'm back and forth with this team, with the BYU team, right? But if I look at what St. Mary's has left to do this season,
it's not much there.
I'd have a really hard time getting nervous about either of those matchups.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these are teams that they beat by double digits earlier this season.
Yeah, yeah. It's an interesting game because of the numbers, but it's not really that interesting to think about, because I agree with you. I don't think there's much chance. St. Mary's doesn't do that. And, of course, at this point, BYU is locked into that third spot or higher, potentially could tie for St. Mary's. I don't know what the tiebreaker would be if they both, each won a game. But regardless, they're probably the third seed. But let's talk about that Gonzaga game here for a second. Newsflash, they're a pretty good team.
Yeah, they're all right.
I don't know if you knew that or not, but they are quite good. So let's talk a little bit about what's the recipe, Matt, for beating Gonzaga. What needs to happen for BYU to have a chance on the road to beat them?
Well, I feel like, and this is going to sound like a really simple answer, but
well, that's what we expect from you, so that's okay.
BYU's got to keep it close enough that they have a chance that they're within striking distance in the last 2 minutes of the game.
Yes.
And I know that's kind of a silly thing to say, right?
Right.
But if they can turn this into a short game in that respect, you know, or get this game into overtime somehow, I think BYU's got a chance. But the thing that they're going to struggle against is giving up large leads at any point in the game against this Gonzaga team. Because I think you get into that situation, it'll be very difficult to claw your way back in late.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I agree with you there. Now last time, now granted, this was in Provo, so it's a different deal. BYU, at one point, it was, let's see, when did this happen? Tyler Haws makes a couple free throws with 2 minutes left, and it's 80-77, 3-point advantage for Gonzaga.
Mm-hmm.
Final score, 87-80. BYU was in this and could not. Turnovers, had a couple of turnovers after that, missed shots, and just couldn't get anything going. And then Gonzaga made enough free throws to survive. Okay. Now, if you go back, go ahead.
But one of the things that's crazy when you look at the last couple of minutes of that game is Gonzaga's last field goal was with 1:04 to go.
Yeah, yeah. It was just free throws after that.
Yeah. One of the things I was kind of referring to earlier is, you know, Gonzaga had been up by as much as 16 at one point in that game. And I think those – and having to fight your way back from those big leads – is really what takes it out of you when you're trying to close it out in those last 2 minutes.
Yes, yes, agreed. A couple of other things to note from that game. Tyler Haws, it was a close game for BYU. Haws was 4-for-12 from the field. Collinsworth had 4 turnovers. He had a triple-double in that game, so it's hard to fault him. But he did have one costly turnover late in the game in those last 2 minutes. Winder had 17 points, but was only 5-of-14 shooting and didn't make a 3-pointer. Fisher only had 8 points. In a lot of ways, BYU is a different team now. They're playing a different set of players. In some cases, Frank Bartley, the fourth, played in that game and will get probably more minutes in this one. So I think the recipe is this. Haws and Collinsworth have to play their usual awesome selves, despite the fact that they will game plan and try to stop Haws. And then the bigs just have to be good enough, and then the 3-pointers have to fall. I think that's it.
Well, and And I think we've got a little bit more from the bigs than we did during the first game. I think we can expect a little bit more.
Well, I think you've figured out how to use them, right? Kaufusi mm-hmm. and Sharp have roles on the team, and I think people have figured out how to let them have their roles. Now, Karnowski is a problem. He had 10 rebounds last time, though wasn't a big part of the offense. But the bigger problem is stopping Pangos and some of their other perimeter players from just scoring all over us. They really only played 7 guys last time, and they've got a good experienced team. And does B-Wave got to score 90 to beat them, do you think? I think they got to score 85 at least.
I think you're up into the 85, upper 80s.
I just don't think BYU is good enough defensively to win one in the 70s with this particular team.
No.
But we shall see. So, Matt, we're both giving them high chance, 95% chance to beat Portland?
Oh, yeah, easily. Okay.
So what's the percent chance of an upset of Gonzaga?
33.
33. I had it at 30. It may even be a little lower than that. That may be a tad optimistic. But that leads us, Matt, to the tweet bag.
Tweet bag.
So Shailene and Kurt Vlogs on Twitter asked us this question. Does BYU make the tourney if they win all games but the Gonzaga games? So Matt, here's the scenario.
Okay, yeah, I want to make sure we understand what that means.
We beat BYU beats Portland, then loses to Gonzaga. Mm-hmm. And they go to the tournament, win in the first, well, their first round, beat St. Mary's in the second round. Then they go to the finals against Gonzaga, and they, because by the way, Gonzaga is not losing on their side of the bracket. They might lose conceivably to us or St. Mary's, but they're not losing to anybody else. So then BYU loses that game. Are they in the NCAA tournament?
Well, maybe. I think still there you're gonna be depending on what happens with some other bubble teams. You're not definitely in. But if you look at right now, if you look at what Leonardi's doing, he's got BYU as kind of that next four out group. I think in that situation, you're at least into the first four out, if not the last four in.
Yeah,
But I don't think you seal the deal there. I'm just not convinced that seals it.
So let me put it this way. I am not convinced it seals it either. I think a victory against St. Mary's is what this all hinges on, right? Mm-hmm. If St. Mary's gets upset in their first round, which again I don't think is likely, but say that happens, then BYU beats them and then loses to Gonzaga. That to me changes the whole picture because you need that quality win against St. Mary's. But the other thing, all these computer rankings love it when you lose close to great teams, right? And BYU has a couple of those types of losses, which people say the loss is a loss. Not according to the computers and to the people that choose the teams. A loss is not a loss, right? If BYU also needs to keep it close against Gonzaga if they lose both times, if they lose by 20 both times, that kills them, kills their chances, I think. Like you said, the bubble team, but most of the simulations and the computer rankings say BYU is deserving of an opportunity if they only lose to Gonzaga. But like you said, so many things can happen with other bubble teams, weird conference champions, where a conference that really, quote-unquote, deserves only one bid ends up getting two. So I would say right now, if that happens, I like BYU's chances of getting into the tournament. Maybe it's 75%. If they don't have all those things line up together, the resume becomes a lot less strong.
Yeah, but, you look at some of the teams they've played close that are in this range too, and teams that they've beat that are in this range. Maybe it does get them there. I don't know. If St. Mary's had a little bit of a better year, I'd feel better about the chances after winning those.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, like if you have a convincing win over St. Mary's, style points matter now, right? Well, they probably matter all year. As I look on Twitter, there are BYU fans, of course, that ask all of the big basketball personalities on Twitter if BYU is going to make the tournament, right? As do fans of a lot of teams that are on the bubble. Seth Davis says no. Jay Billis says on Twitter and also on Sports Nation a week or two ago, BYU Sports Nation, he said yes if they only lose to Gonzaga. And then, of course, some of the simulations online say the same thing. So I think if you're a BYU fan and you're despairing that there's no chance that BYU makes the tournament, they have to beat Gonzaga to do it, I think that's probably not true. They've got a decent shot even if they don't.
Well, because you got to remember who Gonzaga is right now.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you know, we're talking about a team that's probably a one seed in the tournament.
I can't see how they won't be. If they win out, I understand that their computer rankings may not be as good as some of the others, but it's really hard for the committee to not make a one-loss team who played a decent out-of-conference schedule and then in one of the best 10 conferences in the country, not as a number one.
Yeah, that'd be a really tough sell.
But the thing with BYU is if BYU beats Gonzaga in one of these games, in the tournament, obviously, they're in, right, automatically. But I think if they win in Saturday night in Spokane, barring something catastrophic
in
the WCC tournament, you're in.
You'd have to lay an egg in the tournament. You'd have to come out in the first round or something crazy.
Yeah, I think you could lose to St. Mary's in the second round and still be in.
Yeah.
It changes everything. But again, like we said, we don't see that as likely to happen. But them winning out besides Gonzaga, what are your chances of that they do that? So they beat Portland, they beat a first-round opponent, they beat St. Mary's. So three more victories.
What I feel really good about their odds to do that.
70%?
Oh, yeah, 75, 80.
I'd put a little lower than that.
I feel like they're coming together at just the right time, and maybe I'm just overly optimistic here, but they're putting it together.
Yes.
And the tough matchup in that stretch is St. Mary's.
Yes. Yes. That's
frankly, I think it's the only game that plays out there that I would be really worried about.
Yeah. Sure.
I think they can beat anybody else in the conference right now.
Yes. I think they are, as is typical with Dave Rose teams, they are rolling at the right time. They are rolling at the right time. If they could go back and erase a couple of those ugly losses, it'd be a little better.
Yeah.
So, anyway, well, Matt, it's been a podcast. We've had a podcast.
Indeed.
We've done podcasting.
We've cast pods.
We have cast pods. Next week, we will be back on with some kind of guest, some person who's more famous than us, which isn't hard to do.
There are a lot of people who fit that category.
A lot of people, probably people we're even related to. And by the way, I got this question via email. We are not related to Tanner Mangum except in a distant type of way.
We're related to Tanner Mangum probably the same way all of you are related to Tanner Mangum.
Yes, yes, yes. Pioneer heritage. but anyway, we'll be on a guest. We'll have a guest on next week, most likely, and we'll be previewing the West Coast Conference tournament.
Yes.
Live from Las Vegas. No, just kidding. I'm in Las Vegas this week. I will not be in Las Vegas for the tournament, which is, you know, what are you going to do?
That would be a fun trip one year.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be fun.
For the conference tourney.
You know, people like Preston Norton and others that have done it and have kind of profiled their experiences on Twitter and blogs. It seems like a pretty good time. By the way, I'm out here in Vegas and I saw they've got billboards around about "We want hockey in Vegas."
Oh boy.
Do they really want hockey in Vegas?
You think they could support a hockey team?
I don't know. I never thought most of the cities, the NHL now, could support a hockey team. I mean, there's one in Phoenix, for heaven's sakes. Granted, it almost went bankrupt, but, you know, I don't know, man. The NHL's weird because it's really, you know, you've got some of these teams now that are in places where I never thought they'd support teams that they support them. You know, and Vegas, you're the one, you'd be the first professional franchise that gets here out of the big four. You're the only show in town. I mean, I don't think baseball's workable here. You'd have to have a dome or a retractable roof, and baseball's got 81 home games, but hockey's got 40. I mean, it's a lot of home games. I don't know. What do you think about an NFL team here? Hey, we haven't even talked about the threat that three teams might end up in L.A. in the NFL.
Oh, that's awesome.
But then did you see San Diego's already like, we'll build you a stadium?
Of course they will.
I hate
the whole thing.
I hate it.
That's all. This is a game. This is just posturing.
I think it is not posturing with the Raiders.
Right. Well, one of those teams maybe end up there. Yeah. But with the Raiders, that's a little bit different. There's a definite history there. There's a connection to L.A. there. A little bit different. The Chargers coming up. Come on.
Well, here's the thing is, it only becomes a reality if one of the other cities holds their ground, right?
Right.
And Oakland is likely to hold their ground because they don't have any money. You know, but San Diego, can they quote unquote afford to build an NFL stadium, a new one? Of course they can. Whether that's wise to build a stadium for a industry that has billions of dollars of revenue and grows every year is another issue. But
which is crazy to me that they can still talk these cities into paying for this.
I mean, I look at the Miami Marlins stadium, and it is, to me, every little bit more you read about that makes you feel queasy. You know, like, basically, like, the Major League Baseball stole people's money, right? I mean, they stole their money, built a stadium, and now no one goes. Though the Marlins did re-sign Giancarlo Stanton, which I'm shocked, and eventually, when they default on paying him, he might get traded. But, you know, three teams in L.A. is not going to happen. Percent chance that at least one team ends up in L.A.? I think that's near 100.
Yeah, I think that's pretty high.
Eventually,
the fact that L.A. has been without an NFL franchise for this period of time is shocking to me.
It is definitely shocking. Are you for staying on national sports here for a minute before we close? Are you for what the new Major League Baseball commissioner is doing with the All-Star game, instead of rotating it kind of around, is now having people kind of bid and propose? What do you think about that?
Oh, yeah, I like that.
I hate it.
Really?
Rotate it around. The city should not have to pay Major League Baseball to have the All-Star game there. Or put together a proposal. Just rotate it.
Yeah, I don't know when you talk about bidding or putting the other proposal, I'm all for. A bid, making it like a competitive, financially competitive process.
But that's what it is. Even if it's a proposal, it's like, we're going to do something because, you know, it's in a bad part of town, so we'll do X by that year. Plus, it's the Major League Baseball All-Star game. I mean, it's not the World Series. It's not the Super Bowl. Though I think it would be fascinating. Of course, this would be terrible, but imagine if cities got to bid on the World Series.
Oh, that would get insane.
That would be, it's a 7-game series. I mean, obviously that would not happen, but, I mean, cause you look at the Super Bowl, and I agree with Bill Simmons, the sports guy on ESPN, there should be like 3 rotating sites for the Super Bowl, right? And Dallas, I don't believe is one of them personally.
So what are they?
I think they've got to be New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
They build a stadium. Bill Simmons has been touting this for years. They build an NFL stadium in Las Vegas.
That's just for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you could do bowl games there. College football, like neutral site games. I don't know if college football would like to do that in Vegas. you know, but San Diego or L.A., once they build a nice stadium there, you put it in places, actually L.A., I hate L.A., but you put it in places like when they did in New York, it's just not the place you want to go, and it's not actually in New York. If there was a stadium like in Manhattan, maybe that's appealing to go.
Yeah, that would be cheap.
Yeah, that would be cheap. But, you know, you have a Super Bowl in New Jersey. I mean, nothing against New Jersey, but...
There's a lot of things against New Jersey.
Yeah, but I mean, I've heard people say, well, they should do it in Boston. Well, it's Foxborough, people. You do not want a Super Bowl in Foxborough, Massachusetts. I don't know. What do you think? Where would you put it? If you had a city that you could nominate, I think New Orleans is an easy one.
New Orleans is a very easy choice. I think you have to look at Florida. I think you got to look at Tampa or Miami.
Miami. I'd go with Miami, not Tampa.
But you've got to, and maybe San Diego. You've got to stick to warm weather climates, and places that are fun towns for people to go to that you can make a that can really host a party.
It really changed for me, Matt, when I lived in Wisconsin and I had a lot of friends go to the Super Bowl in Dallas when Green Bay was in it, and these friends had been saving money. They were diehard Packers fans, right? They had been saving money for years during the last part of the Brett Favre era, assuming they were going to get back, right? And they didn't. And then they do with Aaron Rodgers, and they spent a lot of money, and they go down there to Dallas. And I know Dallas doesn't always freeze, but they had a terrible experience, right, logistically. And that's why I think a place like New Orleans, San Diego, like you said, Miami, where people have – this is a big event, right, for the people that go. Now, on TV, I don't care where it's at, right? Doesn't matter to me. You know, heck, on TV, there's even appeal for me to have a cold weather Super Bowl, right, to have snow. But for people that – like these Green Bay Packers fans, and we know Patriots fans that went – to the Super Bowl this year, it's a big deal, and people spend a lot of money, and it should be in a nice place where they can go and have a vacation, right?
And when you just think logistically speaking, in New Orleans, for example, where the stadium is located, there's a gazillion hotels within walking distance,
right?
And depending on what your threshold for walking distance is, I mean, that number becomes very large.
Yes. Maybe San Antonio's a place, though.
No, there's cold there. There's restaurants and there's other things. There's stuff there.
Yes, Miami's the same way. Not necessarily walking distance, but there's so much to do in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Miami Beach and just sit there and watch weird people all day. I've done that. It's fantastic.
Oh, Miami Beach is a crazy place.
Off the charts, man. I mean, I saw a guy walking around in a unitard that did not fit him. I mean,
does anybody wear a unitard that fits? Is there even such a thing?
I do. Did I say that on that? Well, we should probably end on that, Matt.
We probably should. This is the wheels have come off.
The wheels came off. This was fun though. This was fun. So Matt, we'll be back next week to talk WCC tournament. Hopefully, a couple of volleyball victories as well. And then we'll be closer to football. So there, my guess is we'll be talking some football next week as well.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, spring football is rapidly approaching. So thanks, everybody, for downloading and listening. We, as always, appreciate it. You can tweet at us at BYU_RiceShout. Email us, Adam@LoyalCougars.com, Matt@LoyalCougars.com. And we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars!